The following audio is the weekly message podcast from Vaughn Forest Church, Montgomery, Alabama. To learn more about Vaughn Forest Church, visit us online at vaughnforest.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Vaughn Forest. Don't act like you don't know that song. I'm glad to see you here this morning. My name's Adam. I'm the pastor here. We're kicking off a brand new series today called Financial Freedom, and I'm glad you're here for the kickoff. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to be taking a look at this. But before we jump in today, before we jump into the series, let me take a moment and just answer the question, why are we doing this for 5 weeks? I mean, why are we as a church going to talk about money for 5 weeks? First of all, let me tell you why we are not doing this series. It's not because we are behind in our giving. Okay? And that's kind of in the pastor handbook they give you in seminary. If you're behind in giving, do a series on money. That's not the case for us. Many of you give so generously here at Vaughn Forest Church, and I'm happy to tell you that our church is in a great place when it comes to the finances. In fact, I would say our church has never been stronger when it comes to finances. We're really grateful for that. We've got a great stewardship team led by Pastor Hardy, our administrative pastor. And while the budget is approved by the members, the stewardship team meets frequently. If they need to make any adjustments along the way, we've got a great staff that manages the resources really, really well. In fact, if you give, you'll be receiving your giving statement from 2019 in the next week or two with a letter from me that's going to unpack in even greater detail where we are as a church, and we're kind of operating from a position of strength. And so that's really good news. So we're not doing this series because we are quote unquote in need. Second, we're not doing this series because we're launching into like a new campaign or special initiative. So no new campaign, no building campaign, no new initiatives. In fact, we just wrapped up a special offering that lasted for 3 years, the Elevate Giving Campaign. And so many of you gave to that above and beyond your regular tithes and offerings. And everything given to Elevate went to 3 initiatives, global missions, facility improvements, and debt reduction. And while money is still continuing to come in, the official campaign ended at the end of 2019, so I got some good news to share with you. Everyone who gave to that over the course of the 3 years, above, again, this is above and beyond regular tithes and offerings, the total amount given was $2.3 million. I mean, that's incredible. So give yourselves a hand. Come on, a little bit of enthusiasm this morning, okay? That's amazing. All of that invested into the kingdom through those 3 initiatives. So we praise God for that. So we're not launching a new campaign. We're not kind of behind in our giving. So why are we doing this series? And the reason why we're going to do this series, the reason why we're spending the next 5 weeks talking about money is quite simply this. See, we believe that stewardship is discipleship. In fact, that is the big idea for today. That is the big idea for the entire series. So there are some message notes inside your bullets, and let me encourage you to find those, pull those out, and jot this big idea down. Stewardship is discipleship. Big idea for the series. Stewardship is discipleship. What do I mean? Stewardship. That at the end of the day, we don't own anything. It all belongs to God. God allows some of his financial resources to pass through our hands while we are here on earth, and we are simply the managers. We are simply the stewards. And how we steward God's financial resources is a part of our discipleship. In fact, I believe what Randy Alcorn says is true, that it's impossible to become a fully developing follower of Jesus without also becoming a fully developing steward of financial resources. And discipleship is a big deal. Our spiritual growth is a big deal. God's intent for us is to become more like his son, Jesus. And oftentimes, Jesus would take money and use it as the way, the means to show us how we could actually take steps in our spiritual growth. Let me give you an example where Jesus does this. Luke chapter 16, verse 11. Jesus says, "If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?" So what Jesus is saying is how we steward or manage worldly wealth, money, is an indication of whether or not we can be trusted with things of the kingdom, true riches as Jesus states them. And discipleship, again, spiritual growth is a big deal. And I'm kind of glad we're in this season. I've been praying for this season for a while. And what we're doing today is we're really kind of strategically launching into a season of discipleship here as a church. Our students are sitting down here in front. This past weekend, they came out of a Disciple Now weekend where they looked at Colossians chapter 2, where it says to be rooted in Jesus, to get your faith down deep. So they're focusing on discipleship. We're going to talk about discipleship for the next 5 weeks in here through stewardship, and then we're going to follow that up with another discipleship series in March called Keystone Habits for Spiritual Growth. We're going to take a look at the classic spiritual disciplines, the spiritual habits that help us grow in our faith. We'll talk about prayer. We'll talk about fasting. We'll actually have a church-wide fast that we'll do leading up to Easter. We're going to talk about Bible study, worship, solitude. And so for the next 2 months leading up to Easter, we are focusing together as a church on discipleship. Why? Because our growth matters to God. And stewardship is a part of our discipleship. It's not something we just tack on. It's like we grow in our faith through prayer. We grow in our faith through, you know, sharing our faith, through reading God's word. And then there's kind of money over here. And no. Stewardship is part of our discipleship. That's the first reason we're spending 5 weeks on this series. The second reason we're spending 5 weeks on this series is because Jesus talked about money a lot. In fact, Jesus talked about money more than heaven and hell. Jesus talked about money more than prayer. Jesus talked about money more than faith. In fact, if I were to preach on money as frequently as Jesus talked about money, every fourth sermon of mine would be about money. Now relax, we're not gonna do that, okay? I'm not gonna come up for over a year and every fourth sermon be about money, but we are gonna take 5 weeks because there is so much about money, not just from Jesus, but from all of Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, packed with spiritual truths about money. So why would Jesus talk about money so much? I mean, those other things are really important too. That's a good question, and there's lots of answers to it. But just for today, as we get started on this journey together, let me give you one reason I believe Jesus talked about money so much. Matthew 6, 21. Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus understood the pull of money. See, we can all say, here's what I love. Here's what I care about. Here's what I'm passionate about. Regardless of what we say, here's how we really find out that answer. We look at the statement released from our bank each month, that where our money goes reveals where our heart is, that we begin to care about where we invest our money. And so when Jesus talked about money, it wasn't so much that he wanted to talk about money as much as he wanted people to see God was after their hearts. And money is one of the main ways that God gets to us through our hearts. And so we're doing this series, Stewardship is Discipleship. We're doing this series because Jesus talked about money a lot. And then finally, the third reason is because it's just a practical need. I mean, many of us are in need of some financial freedom. For many of us, those two words don't even fit together. Our finances are associated with stress. And if that's you today, I want you to take a deep breath. I'm so glad you're here. You could not have chosen a better place to be if that's where you are than today. Not because I'm anybody special, but because for the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at what God's word has to say about this. But the truth of the matter is, for many of us, not just here in our church family, if you're a guest here today, not just for you, but like our culture at large, is money is creating all types of stress. In fact, I wanted to kind of see like what that looks like. And so I did, you know, some research and financial stress, like what kind of effect is it having on us? I mean, first of all, most people live at 110% of their household income. So everybody that you look at, like, man, like how do they afford all that? They don't, okay? So like that kind of contributes to this sometimes. But here's what this study I found said, that 52% of Americans say because of financial stress, they're experiencing more irritability, anger, fatigue, sleeplessness. 44% of those experiencing financial stress report trouble with migraines. Those under financial stress have twice as many heart attacks. They have a 500% increase in severe anxiety and depression, and they're three times more likely to develop ulcers and digestive tract problems. Those under financial stress, study after study shows, are more likely to turn to more destructive behaviors like smoking, gambling, alcohol, drug abuse. This is a real challenge in our society. And then there's marriage. I mean, money is the number one thing that married couples argue about. And study after study is released by attorneys. The most recent one I found said that 54% of divorces cite money as the number one reason for the divorce. And we live in a society where we're bombarded by messages from advertisers telling you about all the stuff that you need, that if you'll get this stuff, it's going to make you happy. And then we have social media, which while I like and I'm a fan of social media, let's all just acknowledge it can be destructive as we fall into the trap of comparison. And we think, well, you know, my lifestyle is just not good enough. My vacations aren't good enough. My pets aren't good enough. I don't know what it is that's not good enough, but social media kind of feeds that. And so what ends up happening is that money, something that's supposed to be a blessing in our lives, actually becomes a source of stress. And we're going to talk about a lot of different things in this series. And so I want to challenge you up front to make a commitment to be here every week. See, if you're not here for all 5 weeks, there's a good chance that what you needed to hear from God during this series might actually happen that day. So I'm challenging everybody to be here for all 5 weeks. In fact, I want to challenge you more specifically through this. Now, this was already mentioned once in our service today, but this is new, so let me spend just a moment on this. This is our new connection card. Now, we've had connection cards in a bulletin before, but this one's different. This one even looks different. So let me ask you to find this. Let me kind of talk about this just for a second. One of the things you might have noticed was that you were asked to complete this, like everyone, like even if you call Vaughn Forest Church home, we asked you to go ahead and fill that out, and we asked if you were a guest, just whatever information you feel comfortable sharing. Say, why on earth would I fill out this card every single week? Here's the reason why. The next steps on the back are going to change every week. So every week on the back, there will be next steps that are tied to the message. There'll be next steps tied towards other things. And so you'll have the opportunity to mark any next steps as you feel led. Now, if you don't feel led to take any next steps, you know, no one's standing at the door to make sure you took next steps. Okay, this is just an opportunity for you to respond as God leads you. But the next step I want to challenge you to look at and consider taking today is the second one. Commit to attend Sunday, each Sunday during the Financial Freedom Teaching Series. I want to ask you just to mark that next step. You say, why should I mark that next step? So that on Tuesday, when something comes up for you to do next Sunday, you're like, I can't do it. Like, I've already made this commitment to be here every Sunday. So I'm challenging you. I'm asking you to consider taking this next step. And then what we'll do with these at the end of the service is some offering baskets will pass by, and you can turn it in at that time. Again, if you call Vaughn Forest home, you may have noticed, like, we haven't received our offering yet. We're going to do it at the end of the service, okay? I'll talk more about that in a second. But the reason why we're doing that at the end is so that you have an opportunity to mark next steps after the message as well. For example, maybe you see here on the right side, it says becoming a follower of Jesus. Many Sundays during the message, I'll ask, hey, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would challenge you to do that. Maybe that's you here today, and I'll lead in a prayer, and you'll have the opportunity to respond. And you may do that on your own. You may do that during the worship set. You might even do that during the message. But if you do that, we want to ask you to let us know. If you accept Jesus into your life, it's really important for you to let someone know so that others can come alongside you and encourage you. And in some churches, the way you let someone know is you kind of walk down front at the end of the service and you tell one of the pastors. And I'm not saying that there's necessarily anything wrong with that. I mean, that's how we did things at the church I grew up with. But sometimes that can be a little intimidating, especially in a room this size, and walk down front and stand up here in front of all of these people. So we're not asking you to do that. But we are asking you to mark this next step because, see, we do think it's important for you to go public with your faith. We don't think that you should keep that a secret. And biblically speaking, we believe that in the New Testament, the way you go public with your faith isn't necessarily standing down front. While there's nothing wrong with that, what we believe the New Testament teaches is you go public through your faith through the waters of this baptistry right over here to my right and to your left. And so if you mark this next step, we'll follow up with you and rest assured as quickly as possible, we want to get you baptized because we believe that's your first step of obedience. And that's how you can go public with your faith. And if you've never seen a baptism here, it's a big celebration. We cheer and we clap, and maybe you've already taken that step, but you haven't yet followed through with baptism, you could mark that next step as well. So again, you'll have the opportunity, if God moves during the message, you can respond to next steps, and then you'll notice the offering envelope's a little different. I'll talk more about that at the end of the service. But we'll do all of that at the end, and we'll receive all of those at the end of the service today, and we're going to kind of stick with that moving forward. Before I jump into our notes, let me do one last thing. We're going to do some different things throughout this series. We're going to offer some next steps. So for example, 1 week, we're going to talk about budgeting, and that can be a little bit of a challenge. And so we're going to offer a budgeting workshop that you could attend on a Wednesday night with some members here at our church, some members of our stewardship team. And they love Jesus and they love you and they're good at this and they'll help you work on your own budget. We're going to offer an estate planning workshop. You may be here today, and it's not necessarily that you're drowning in financial debt. Maybe God's blessed you, and maybe that's actually creating some stress because there's multiple voices in our society that would tell you what you should do with that money. And so we're going to take a look at how even maybe beyond the years we have here on earth, the financial resources God's entrusted us with could continue to be used for the kingdom. That's really exciting. We're going to offer that as a workshop. And then next Sunday, I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about debt. And I know that can be really challenging. And maybe that's you here today, and you're you would say, dude, I am drowning in debt. I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to begin. And that can be a very, very difficult challenge to face. And so we're going to talk about debt next week, but we don't want to just talk about it. We want to help maybe do something about it as well. We want to be generous as a church. And so in both of our services next Sunday, we're going to be giving away $1,000 to help pay down somebody's debt. And so you don't have to participate. This isn't forced, but if you want to, when you come in, you can like fill out a little card and it'll just be a simple drawing. And if we draw your name, the church will pay $1,000 towards whatever debt that you have. And you say, you know, I've got so much debt, $1,000 wouldn't even make a dent. Okay, I think most people would take that, all right? So like $1,000. So I'm excited to see what God's going to do. I'm excited to see who's going to win. Now, I wish we could do that for everybody. Okay, maybe we will one day. But like for right now, we've kind of taken the approach, let's do for one what we wish we could do for everyone. So that's going to be exciting to see next week. So as you can tell, we got a lot going on over the next 5 weeks. That's why I'm challenging you to be here each Sunday. So for today, here's what I want to do. I want to get us started. The title of today's message is A Wise Approach. How do we actually get on a path or take steps on the path that we are on to truly begin to experience financial freedom? And the steps that we're going to take that I'm going to challenge you with are actually questions, okay? They're questions that I'm asking you to consider, questions that I'm asking you to answer to get you on the path towards financial freedom with a wise approach. So if you're taking notes this morning, here's the first one. Where am I now financially? Simple question. Where am I now? Not where did I used to be, certainly not where I want to be. Where am I right now? So every time I go to a theme park, begrudgingly, I'm kidding. Every time I go to a theme park, right? Love Jesus at Disneyland and Disney World and the Magic Kingdom, and it's a wonderful place. But when I go in there, or I go to Six Flags, or I go to Whitewater, or I go to any type of amusement park and theme park, it's a little overwhelming. And thankfully, like they give you a map. You know, it's like one of those things that folds 17 times. So you're trying to get it, you'll never fold it up again, but you get it unfolded, and you're looking at the map. And when I'm looking at the map, while I'm glad there's a map, unless somebody shows me where I am presently at on the map, it's not helpful. Like sometimes you go into the parks and they've got like a big one on display, like mounted with a big red star, and it says, you are here. That's all I'm talking about. But before we like really get into a wise approach, experiencing financial freedom, it's important to figure out where you're at. You can have the right plan, you can have the right steps, but if you don't know where you're starting from, it's not going to really help you out at all. Jesus alludes to this in Luke 14, 28. Jesus says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? So sit down, see where you're at before figuring out where you are going to go. So here's what I'm going to do, okay? I'm going to give you three simple questions to help figure out where you are at right now financially. And listen, my wife are going to be doing this on our own as well. I'm not asking you to do anything that we're not doing in our home. So if you're here today and you're single, you're a college student, you're doing this on your own, cool. If you're here today and you're married, you need to be doing this together as a married couple. So I'm about to give you three questions. I'm giving you some homework. That's right. Aren't you glad you came to church? You're getting homework today, okay? And you're going to take this homework home and you're going to do it at home. Thus the name homework. That's how that works, okay? So I'm going to give you three little questions here. They are not in your notes, which means you're going to have to really listen, pay attention, jot them down in the margin of your notes. And because I'm a little strategic, weird, can kind of almost overanalyze things. Like I specifically chose to do this message today. I specifically chose to kick off this series today because I knew I was going to give you homework and I knew I wanted to be able to push you and challenge you to do your homework. And I chose to do it today because here's what I knew. There's no football on today. None. Don't give me the Pro Bowl. That ain't real football, okay? There's no football on today. Now, next week, big football game. You will get no homework next Sunday in church, praise God. But today, you're getting homework. So here's how this works, okay? You're here with your spouse. Here's how this evening's going to work. You're going to eat an early dinner. You're going to put your kids to bed early. They will complain. Tell them, stop complaining. I'm planning your financial future. They have no idea what that means. Put them to bed. All right, so you'll put them to bed, and then you will sit down. You'll turn off the TV, and you'll work through this together. It's so hard to do that. it's so hard to like sit down and actually have these conversations and answer these questions. And I get it. We'll be doing it tonight in our home. It's not always fun. It's not always easy, but you got to figure out where you're starting from. So here again, three little questions, jot them down in the margin of the notes. This is what you're going to do tonight with your spouse. If you're by yourself, this is what you're going to do. You know, put your earbuds in, get going to town. Here we go. Number one, what am I spending? What am I spending? What are we spending? Where's all this money go? You ever said that before? Don't say that to your spouse. It's mean. But like, what are we spending? Over the last week, over the last month, it's incredible when you like sit down and like really see where money goes. Like all of a sudden, like, wow, like we're spending some money in places we probably shouldn't spend it. And that's a little discouraging. But the hope is, well, if we change that, frees up a little bit more money. I remember the first time I realized the power of recognizing this, okay? It wasn't until I got married. It wasn't until I got married. So, you know, I was single for a few years, like working full time. You know, I had a house and I had a car and had paychecks. And I just kind of figured as long as everybody got paid and nobody came after me, I was good. That's a really bad financial plan, okay? But that's just kind of how I was operating. And then Morgan and I got married. And so I kind of did it differently. Like I'd finished college and then we got married. And then I decided after working full time for a season that I wanted to go back to school to go to graduate school. And so I sold the house and I sold the car and bought like a, you know, a little cheap car. And we get married and she's finishing up her undergrad degree. And now I'm going to seminary and graduate school. And so we're both full-time students. We both have two part-time jobs and we live in a tiny little apartment. We had a washing machine where we had to roll it into the kitchen and hook up the hose to run the water to the faucet coming out of the sink. That's amazing. I didn't even know they made that kind of stuff, right? And it was like 10%. Anyway, I go on. So that was our life, okay? Not a lot of money. That's all I'm trying to say. So I come home from classes one day and I'm hungry. And I figured, like, you know, I'll be a good husband. I'll go ahead and order dinner. Morgan hadn't come home from class yet, so I called and ordered a pizza. And so Morgan comes home about 15, 20 minutes later. And I'm like, hey, babe, I went ahead and ordered a pizza for tonight. And she goes, no, you didn't. I said, no, I did. I just got the phone. She said, no, that's not what I meant. What I meant is, no, we can't do that. And I was like, why not? She said, Adam, I've already bought the food for tonight's dinner, and I've planned out our meals for the last several days, And I spent it. So we don't have enough money for me to plan meals and then for us to kind of change things up at the last minute and for you to order a pizza. And honestly, I just kind of blew her off. I was like, oh, it's fine, honey. Don't worry about it. It'll be good. Besides, I've already called. You know, they're going to be here any minute. She's like, well, you're going to call them back and cancel the order. I said, you can't do that. She said, prove it. So I said, okay. So I picked up the phone and I called and they were really nice. I was like, hey, I'm really sorry. My wife, I did not say that. I said, I'm really sorry, but I'm gonna have to cancel the pizza I just ordered. And they're like, cool, no problem, no worries. And I hung up the phone and I got off the phone. And I gotta tell you right now, I was so grateful that my wife was thinking about our finances when I wasn't. Because something as simple as just ordering a pizza based on where we were in that season of our life, it was going to really create some problems. And it really helped me recognize that I was just doing that a lot, just kind of making quick decisions here and there, being really spontaneous, not putting a lot of thought in it with my spending, and it was actually putting our marriage in a challenging spot. And I'm so grateful that Morgan said that all those years ago, because over the years, that's been something that we've been able to have a lot of conversations about. And by God's grace, most of the time, be on the same page. Okay? So listen, if there's a little bit of discussion, a little bit of friction, a little bit of, well, I didn't know you spent that. That's okay. Like, don't turn it into a fight. That's what most marriages do. What you're trying to do is get on the same page. Okay? But you can't get on the same page unless you have a page. So get on a page tonight and jot it down. What are we spending? Number two, what are we saving? You may already know that one. I can skip through that one fast. Zero, right? But that's okay. Don't beat yourself up. It's just good to know, right? Where are we starting? Okay? So what are we spending? What are we saving? Number three, what are our debts? Who do we owe? Okay? And I'm not necessarily, maybe you're in a house. I'm not necessarily talking about the mortgage. You may have more house than you need, but most of the time it's the other debts that are really creating the challenge. Whether it's a credit card debt, a student loan debt, auto debt, whatever other type of debt you might have. So again, this is just a sheet of paper. Like, what are we spending? What are we saving? Who do we owe? You're just kind of getting all of that down, okay? That's kind of the homework. That kind of gets it started, and that helps you see where are we at right now. Number two, in your notes, where does God want me to be? Where does God want me to be? So if you identify where you're at, and you identify where God wants you to be, and there's a gap, welcome to spiritual growth. Oftentimes, there's a gap. That's okay. But here's some good news. God does not want you to be in a place of financial stress. God does not want finances to be something that tears your house apart. God actually wants finances to be one of the main ways you experience his blessing in your life. That's what God's will is. That's what God's desire is for you. Let me give you a verse to encourage you this morning, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Here's the context of this verse. When Jeremiah delivered this verse to the people of Israel, they were not in a good place. The last thing they thought could happen was for them to prosper. And if that's you here this morning, and you are not in a good place when it comes to your finances, what God wants you to see is just like for his people all those years ago, he had not forgotten them and he still had good plans for them. And if that's you here this morning, here's what God would have you to know. He still has good plans for you. He still desires to see you prosper. But there are some questions, again, I want you to work through to try to see, hey, am I where God wants me to be? So just again, jot these down kind of in the margin of your notes somewhere. Here's the first one. Am I putting God first in my finances? I mean, if I was jotting down margin notes, I would just put, is God first? Big question mark, okay? Am I putting God first? Here's a good spiritual principle. Wherever you want God's blessing in your life, make sure God is in first place in that area of your life. Anytime you want God's blessing, make sure God's in first place. Students, you want God's blessing with what you're going through at school, make sure you're living for God. If you're dating someone, I want God's blessing in my dating life. Well, make sure you're honoring God with your dating life. You're keeping him in first place. When it comes to your finances, I want God's blessing. Well, is God first? It's just a really good question to ask when it comes to any area of spiritual growth in our life. Here's the second question. Am I spending less than I make? Hopefully, kind of that first little exercise gave you the answer to that one with the spending. Number three, am I preparing for the future? Again, this is what I want you to talk about tonight with your spouse. If you're single, if you're a college student, I want you doing this on your own. Ask, are we preparing for our future? Am I preparing for the future? I don't know a whole lot about the future except for this, okay? Here's all I can promise you. 5 years from now, 5 years will have passed. I'm so brilliant, right? Not 10 years from now, 10 years will have passed. That's about all I can tell you. But isn't there power in just acknowledging that? I mean, you guys realize it's 2020? How'd that happen? Like, it's just like yesterday was 2007. Here we sit. It's 2020. I mean, 5 years ago, I wish I would have done some things about my finances that I'd be benefiting from today. And 5 years from now, you will wish you would have started today. See, planning is not the opposite of faith. Planning works in cooperation with our faith, okay? But sometimes the challenge of finances is we can't see past what's in front of us right now. But what God wants us to do from time to time is to try to, you know, pull out of the weeds and get like a 30,000 foot perspective, like a Google Earth perspective of your neighborhood, a Google Earth perspective of your life, and go, where are things going big picture? Where are we going to be in 5 years if we stick with this plan? If we want to be somewhere in 10 years, do we need to start a different plan? These are good questions to ask. Number four, are we living generously? You're a college student. You can still live generously as a college student. Is generosity a part of your life? Here's what I really believe about most people. Most people have a desire to be generous. I've never run into someone and said, man, generosity, don't care about it. It's just all about me. We have a desire to be generous. Here's the challenge. For many of us, we haven't taken the desire to be generous and synced it up with a plan that allows us to be generous. And that's what we're talking about. You're just figuring out what plan is going to allow us to honor God, put him first, think about the future, and be people who are generous. Every time Morgan and I do this, it'll happen again tonight, we will see things that as much as we try not to let culture influence, we will see things tonight that we'll go, yeah, we've kind of gotten off track a little bit. It's so easy to happen. When that happens, all we acknowledge is, okay, Lord, we want to get back on the right path. And this verse is a good reminder for us. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Sometimes it's easy to be conformed to the pattern of this world. Okay? It just happens. So as you're working through this, if you notice that, that's okay. Again, this is 5 weeks. This is a journey, but you're just getting started with some of the stuff we're talking about today. Number three, I'm getting the next question, okay? How do you take a wise approach? Answer this. What is one step I will take today? So let's just say even after tonight, you sit down, you work through all this, and it's like, where do we even start? It can feel overwhelming, and when that happens, you've got to choose one something that you can start. Anything, okay? About a year ago, I'll give you an example. About a year ago, I stopped going to Starbucks every day to buy coffee. And I'm not speaking in hyperbole. Like, I literally went to Starbucks every single day and bought coffee, okay? I didn't buy, like, the most expensive thing. I bought, like, the coffee, the cheap stuff, and that was my way of justifying. It's like, well, I'm not really spending that much money. But I literally did this every single day. Do you know what that's called? A problem, all right? So, like, someone, you know, said, hey, this is a problem, okay? And I realized, like, wait a second. I don't have to spend that much money on coffee because we have this magical thing. It's a machine. It plugs into the wall in our kitchen called a coffee maker, right? So, like, I know this sounds simple, and for many of you, like, what's wrong with you? But, like, it was a big thing for me to start making my own coffee and stop going to Starbucks. And here's kind of what I recognized through that. Money isn't so much about math. Like, I could have done the math. How much do you spend at Starbucks per day? How many days are there in a month? I'd have pulled out my phone because I can't do that in my head. And I could have told you, like, what the math would be. So a lot of times with money, it's not an issue of math. It's an issue of behavior, habit, pattern. So why'd you go to Starbucks every day to get coffee? I don't know. It's just what I do. And so many times, that's just kind of what happens. Like, it's on my way to work, or it's close to my house. So again, like, if you can find one thing that you're like, wow, if I change that, it would free up some money. That's all I'm talking about. To just find one simple thing that you can get started. Now, let me give you a couple verses to encourage you, okay? The intent is to encourage you. I hope they encourage you, okay? Ecclesiastes 11:4. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done, right? Isn't that the truth? Well, once I get a raise, or once we take care of this, or once this and that and the other. No. Those things won't ever happen. The time to do the right thing is always now. So find the one thing and get started. Galatians 6:9. Let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while, that's a good phrase, after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. Listen, when you first start, it's like, what's one little step gonna mean? Well, here's a reminder, like, if your finances aren't in a good place, you didn't get there overnight, so it's not gonna get better overnight. But as you start taking steps, you'll start building a little bit of momentum. And like this verse says, after a while, you'll reap a harvest of blessing. So how long is a while? I can't answer that for you. But what I can tell you, again, 5 years from now, the only thing I can tell you is 5 years will have passed. And if you'll start taking these steps now, perhaps at that point in your life, you'll be in a place where you're reaping a harvest of blessing from some of these decisions. It's powerful stuff. So finally, number four, and I think this is the most important step to take to really take a wise approach with financial freedom. So jot this down. Here's the question. Will I exchange my way for God's way? Will I exchange my way for God's way? Here's how I want you to hear that question through two areas, okay? First of all, through the area of finances, money. Not coming down on you, not trying to, you know, step on anybody's toes or beat anybody up or any of those kind of things. The title of this series is Financial Freedom. God wants you to experience freedom with your finances. So I need you to hear my heart as your pastor when I say this. For many of you, the reason why you're not experiencing financial freedom is you're continuing to do things your way and ask for God's blessing on your plan. And the only way God is going to bless your finances is if you choose to exchange your way for His way and align yourself with His way. God's only going to bless His way. God's only going to bless His plan. And here's the good news about money. There's a lot of things in the Bible, honestly, they're a little bit of a mystery. Like, we know enough to place our faith, but there's some details that we just honestly don't know. Someone asked me a question on Friday about heaven. I said, I'll give you the best I know from everything I've studied, read, and prayed about, but I can't fully answer that because the Bible doesn't fully answer that. There are some things that are a little bit of a mystery. Money is not one of those. There's nothing mysterious about money in God's word. In fact, I would say there's nothing that God is more clearer on when it comes to the things that affect our everyday lives, like money, than the truth that He's provided us throughout all of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. So what that means is we have to make the choice of whether or not we will exchange our own thinking, our own preferences, our own way of doing things that we continue to ask God to bless, whether or not we will exchange that and say, okay, God, I'm willing to try it your way. One of the things we're going to look at during this series is that God literally says we can test him. It's the only thing in the Bible God says we can test him about. You can actually test God when it comes to money. Incredible. Say, okay, God, I'm going to take you up on that. I'm going to exchange my way for your way, and I'm going to ask for you to bless it. I'm challenging you during this series to make that exchange. The second exchange I'm challenging you to make is the exchange from where we try to do this in our own effort to relying on God's strength. This series is not about self-reliance or all of the things that we can do. This series is about getting to a place where we recognize, God, there are steps that I need to take, and absent from your strength, those steps will not happen. That anytime God reveals an area in our life that we need to grow spiritually, again, discipleship, maturity, spiritual growth, for the believer, here's the promise God tells us. The Holy Spirit is in us to guide us and strengthen us to take those steps. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, Scripture says, is within you if you're a follower of Jesus. So God never calls you to anything that he doesn't also empower you to be able to do through your reliance, through my reliance on the Holy Spirit. Jesus ties all this together for us. John 14, 15 through 17. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Jesus says, when it comes to loving me, here's what I look for, obedience. We're going to talk a lot about that in this series, obedience to God when it comes to finances. And so when we take a step of obedience, here's what Jesus is saying. You receive an advocate and a helper to strengthen you in those steps. So you're not striving in your own effort to obey, that you're relying on the strength of the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, as you seek to take steps of obedience. Again, why are we doing this for 5 weeks? Stewardship is discipleship. I really believe that for some of you, the area of money and finances is going to be the area in your life throughout the rest of this year that you see God show up in unbelievable ways. It's going to be the area that a year from now you'll look at and go, that's the area that I grew the most in my faith because I began to recognize that how I steward financial resources is a part of my spiritual growth. So I'm so glad you're here. I'm so excited about what God's going to do during this month and this series. Would you bow your head with me today as we pray? So Lord, we come before you and ask for your help. God, for many of us, we're in a place where it feels like we're drowning in our finances. God, for many of us, we're in a place where financial freedom is not our reality because we have so much financial stress. And so God, what we're asking today is for your help. And God, what we're acknowledging is that our ways, absent from your guidance, is what's led us here. And so we thank you for your grace. God, may we not move forward with any of these steps in our own strength. God, for the married couples that will sit at the table this evening and work on the homework they got from church, Lord, may you be there with them and remind them this is not a meeting of two, but a meeting of three, that they aren't doing this in their own strength. They're doing this with your anointing. For the single college student or the single adult that's here, may he or she sense your presence as they work through this. That you never call us to take steps in an area of our life and then leave us on our own to take those steps in our own strength. So Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.